Newton Media Group, a family of creative services, presents the Voice Over Work podcast. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at procrastination. Shut up and do those damn things. An ass-kicking guide to stop procrastinating, cure laziness, and destroy bad habits. Your productivity action plan for unlimited success. Written by Bruce Merrick. Narrated by Russell Newton. Introduction. How can you do the things you really need to be doing if you've gotten so damn good at finding other things to do instead? Contrary to popular belief, procrastination is really not about laziness. Of course, you can be both a procrastinator and lazy, but more often than not, procrastination is an emotional resistance issue. If you stop to think about it, you'll realize that when you procrastinate, you still somehow manage to find the energy and time to do less important stuff. So even as you're saying, I just don't have time to do this now, what you really mean is, I would rather do something else with my time. In essence, procrastination is usually a way to avoid doing things that challenge our feelings, beliefs, the way we think of ourselves, and even our view of the world. If you've perfected the art of the last minute, or you're always finding yourself on the wrong side of the clock, then you probably realize that procrastination is not just a quirk. This self-defeating habit can impact your productivity and seriously diminish your ability to seize opportunities and achieve your goals. In fact, as far as self-sabotage goes, procrastination is one of the easiest ways to do it. Like any other habit, procrastination develops over time as a coping mechanism to help us deal with negative emotions. The good news is that, since it is a habit, you have the power to break it and go from being a sit-on-your-ass kind of person to getting shit done. This book, Stop Procrastination, is meant for anyone tired of feeling like a deer caught in the headlights every time they need to make a decision. If you want to overcome the inaction that is caused by fear and become more proactive, this book will empower you to do just that. We take a brutally honest look at why people procrastinate and give you in-depth insights as to why you find it easy to put off important tasks or decisions. We'll provide an in-depth look at the emotional nature of procrastination and why this habit can have a strong hold over your life. And Chapter 1, The Art of Playing Catch-Up. How do you know what moment caused the car crash? Is there a tipping point that marked the moment when your career started to take a nosedive, or even when your spouse decided they were done with you? The tricky thing about the big moments and the tipping points in your life is that you can only define them in retrospect. Sure, given some time and with the benefit of hindsight, you can probably see your past mistakes in excruciating clarity. But what about the ones you're making now? Are they so obvious? If only we could live life backward, then we would know exactly where the pitfalls are and how to sidestep them. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. In the absence of a crystal ball to predict the future, all you can do is make better choices today. Each day, from the moment you wake up, your life is a series of choices, from what time you'll wake up, what you do first thing, how you spend your day, and so on. Even when you're not consciously aware of it, you are constantly choosing. The sum total of these choices is what determines where you are now and where you're likely to be in the future. This simply means that while you may not be able to see into the future, your actions today could probably give you a good indication of where you are apt to wind up. While this gives you power and control over your outcomes, the nature of these outcomes will depend on the kind of choices that you're making today. The thing about making choices is that sometimes, even when you know what the right choice is, you still make the wrong decision. Like when you have an exam or important work presentation tomorrow, but going out with your friends is just more fun. Or when you need to go to the gym, but you choose to sleep in. The truth is, the right choice is not always the most pleasant, so more often than not, you choose to do what feels good instead of what you should be doing. Instant gratification is just one of the many reasons why people keep putting things off. Chapter 2. Why do you procrastinate? In Greek mythology, Odysseus, the hero of the Trojan War, almost succumbed to the enchantment of the devious sirens. Even forewarned, Odysseus found himself struggling to ignore the enchanting song of the sirens. These mythical creatures had been the downfall of many men, and their island was littered with the bones of the hapless men who had succumbed to their baser instincts and heeded the call of the sirens. In this mythical tale, Odysseus is no ordinary man. In fact, he's just won the Trojan War. However, his journey back home is not a sure shot. The goddess Circe warns him of the sirens, demons in disguise who lure men to their death with their enchanting songs. Wise man that he is, Odysseus fills his comrades' ears with beeswax to keep them safe from the charms of the sirens. However, he decides that he wants to hear the enchanting siren song and survive, so he does not put wax in his ears. As they sail across the ocean, the draw of the siren song is so strong that Odysseus is only saved from sure death by his comrades. In this mythical tale, it is not the war in itself that threatens to befall Odysseus. In fact, he is on his way home a hero. The real danger to this hero is the distraction of the sirens, who are the true test of his will. You may not be a Greek hero, or a hero of any type for that matter, but just like Odysseus, your inner enemy is far more dangerous than any external enemy you will ever need to face. The short story is, half of the battles you lose them on the inside long before. Chapter 3, The Overthinking Trap. A disenchanted teenager depressed by the inadequacy of his own life compared to what he sees on Instagram. The disillusioned employee who is certain her boss is out to get her because he ignored her in the meeting. The hypochondriac who thinks they're dying of everything because the symptoms on Google hit close to home. The wife who thinks her husband is having an affair because he did not notice the new haircut. It's a small wonder that there are still any sane people left in the world. Thinking is what sets man apart from lesser beings. We're capable of thought, and it is these thoughts that have led to civilization as we know it. But there's a difference between thinking and overthinking. Your thoughts tend to influence the way you see yourself, the way you perceive others, the way you interact with other people. Positive people are positive in nature for the simple reason that their thoughts are predominantly positive. Negative Nancys, on the other hand, are negative, because they're constantly thinking thoughts of gloom and doom. When you're watching a sport on TV, usually there's a commentator giving a blow-by-blow account of the game. If the commentator gets excited, inevitably, your anticipation increases. If the commentator is slow and not very enthusiastic, chances are you'll find the game boring. Your inner thoughts make up the inner voice. This inner voice is a commentator of sorts in your head that gives you a blow-by-blow account of your life. The more excited or enthused this inner voice is, the more confident and passionate you feel. The more negative or gloomy... Chapter 4. How lazy are you? Procrastination may be laziness in disguise, but laziness is not procrastination. It's easy to assume that procrastination and laziness are the same thing, but this is not necessarily accurate. In some cases, you may procrastinate because you're not motivated enough to do the task. This, however, is different from not doing something because it is inconvenient or requires too much effort. Laziness is an unwillingness to put in the effort to get something done. It has nothing to do with fear of failure or self-doubt, which are the main causes of procrastination. When you do not want to do your homework, or when you dump your work on someone else at work, this is just laziness. It has nothing to do with procrastination. Laziness is usually an indication that you lack the intrinsic motivation required to get up and do something. You either feel that the task is too much work, or that it is not worth the effort. Laziness stems from either a lack of interest in what needs to be done, or a lack of sufficient motivation. When the reward at the end of the task is not sufficient enough to motivate you to act, then the effort required always seems like it is too much. Laziness is not always a bad thing. Sometimes even the most hard-working people can experience burnout. when you reach this stage, when you're physically and mentally exhausted, you probably feel like just taking a day off and doing nothing. Everyone has days when all they want to do is stay in bed or lounge on the couch all day. Laziness sometimes can be your body's way of telling you to take it easy, especially if you've been overexerting yourself. When this happens, a day of doing nothing may actually help you to recharge and clear. Chapter 5. Get a grip. The emotional nature of procrastination. By and large, humans are pretty simple beings. We feel, then we think, and then we act. It's just the way we're wired. Our emotional brain is faster than our rational brain, and so most of the decisions we make are driven by emotions. When you're trying to figure out why it takes you so damn long to get off your ass and do the things you know you need to be doing, you cannot overlook the emotional aspect of procrastination. Our emotions fall into two broad categories. There are positive feelings such as joy, excitement, pride, gratitude, and then there are negative emotions like fear, shame, guilt, and anger. Every time you're faced with a task or a decision, it can either be associated with positive emotions or with negative emotions. If an activity brings you pleasure or a sense of pride in accomplishing it, then it becomes a source of positive emotions, and you want to do it more and more. For instance, if you're creating winning proposals at work, then every time you have such a project, you will approach it with enthusiasm and confidence. The same goes for activities you enjoy, like hanging out with friends, watching your favorite show, and so on. You will always prioritize tasks that make you feel good. On the other hand, some things challenge you and make you uncomfortable. If you have a difficult task like going for an interview or sitting for an exam, you're likely to experience negative emotions like anxiety or dread. In this case, you may go out of your way to postpone the experience or avoid it altogether. Chapter 6. The Octopus Myth. Does your daily life feel like it's a juggling act where you have to keep a dozen different balls up in the air? Are you constantly frazzled, rushed, stressed, and short on time? When it comes to keeping up with the demands of a high-pressure home and work environment, it is very easy to start overextending yourself. This is when your plate is so full, you barely have any free time for yourself. In the natural scheme of things, you would assume that being busy and being productive are the same thing, but actually you would be wrong. People who take on more than they can handle end up running themselves into the ground and reducing their overall efficiency. In fact, studies into neuron function have shown that multitasking tends to reduce brain efficiency. This means that when you're doing too much, even tasks that are not too demanding become challenging. This is because you are overextended and unable to focus on any one particular task. Doing too much is not just bad for your stress levels, but is actually one of the major causes of procrastination. When you're overwhelmed with dozens of things to do, it's no surprise that you can barely find time to do the things that are really important. Think of all the days you show up at work, determined to get things done, only to spend most of the day responding to emails or in crisis meetings. Sometimes you do not procrastinate because you're afraid of the challenge, but rather because you fail to prioritize your tasks. Every day you'll have dozens of things that need to get done, but it's up to you to decide which of these things are relevant to your goals and which are simply busy work. Chapter 7. Mental Models. The man with only a hammer in his tool chest is bound to treat every problem as a nail. Simplified, this adage means that you can only use the tools that you have at your disposal. The more tools you have, the better equipped you are to deal with any situation that arises. This concept holds true for your thought process as well. Your ability to see opportunities and tackle challenges will always be defined by the range and flexibility of your thought process. The more limited your thoughts are, the more limited your options will be. Procrastination is as much a thinking problem as it is an emotional one. Your emotions, whether positive or negative, are always influenced by your thoughts. When you have positive thoughts, naturally you feel good. Similarly, negative thoughts will trigger negative emotions. These impacts of thoughts on your mood is what makes it possible to have moods that have nothing to do with your current circumstances. If you close your eyes and think about something sad that happened to you in the past, the thought itself may be sufficient to bring tears to your eyes. On the flip side, if you close your eyes and think about a happy memory, instantly your mood lifts. The connection between thoughts and emotions is always proportional, and you cannot have negative thoughts and experience positive emotions. In essence, the emotional resistance that you experience towards certain tasks, decisions, and responsibilities stems from the thoughts and perspectives you have. If you think a certain subject is difficult, you will be more likely to have emotional resistance to it because you have created a negative association in your mind. Your perspective is what influences how you feel. Chapter 8, Staying Focused. The possibility of future success is not always a big enough motivator to help you stay focused on your goal. When something seems out of reach or intangible, it loses its hold on you. It becomes something that you think about but have no real attachment to. This is why you often go against your better judgment and put off things that you know will benefit you in the future. Lack of focus is one of the most common reasons why people never realize their objectives. When you start off on a new goal or task, you usually have a lot of passion and dedication to it. You spend a lot of time working on it and making sure you're ticking all the right boxes. However, as time goes by, your passion starts to wane and your efforts become lackluster. Gradually, you stop caring about the goal altogether and you find yourself back right where you started. The thing about focus is that it is only possible when you're still attached and invested in what you want to achieve. When this attachment starts to wane, your focus quickly follows suit. Think of all the resolutions you probably make every start of the new year. You start off all guns blazing and promising yourself that you will see your goals through no matter what. By mid-February, if you're still hanging on, it is by a very thin thread, if at all. This tendency to lose focus and give up on your goals is what makes procrastination a habit rather than a one-time thing. Once you get into the habit of giving up, it becomes an easy choice whenever things get hard. Focus is what keeps you attached to your goals. Once the focus is gone, then the goal becomes nothing more than a pipe dream that you used to have. Energy, as they all. Chapter 9, Habits for Success. How did I get here? Is more or less the universal creed for people who suddenly find that the shit has hit the fan and that they have no idea when or how it happened. Now, if you found yourself up shit creek with no paddle in sight, then you probably know this feeling well. We're often bamboozled by our own lives, and at times you will catch yourself thinking, how did things get this bad? In this puzzle, what we often miss is the fact that we take certain paths, make certain decisions, and operate on certain beliefs that map out the course that our lives take. The truth is, every outcome in your life is a direct result of your habits. There's no getting around this fact. Where you are at this moment in your life is down to the habits you have created, how happy you are, how fulfilled you are, or even how successful you are. All are tied to your habits. It's human nature to always look to the outside for solutions. I would be happier if my boss was nicer. Or, I would meet the girl of my dreams if I was luckier. Or, I would have gotten that job if she was not so unreasonable. Or, this marriage would have worked if he was more considerate. The list is endless. Every single day, you find reasons why other people are responsible for the outcomes in your life. We often cite circumstances beyond our control, or bad luck, or other people's actions, and make them the reason why this or the other went the way it did. This self-delusion helps us sleep better at night. It absolves us of the responsibility for our mistakes. Chapter 10, A New Beginning. Your tools at a glance. Change is difficult because it makes us confront all the things we do not like about ourselves or our lives. When you look at the relationship that has been stealing your joy for years, or the job that has stifled all your creativity, it forces you to acknowledge painful truths about the decisions that you've made over time. For most people, change is daunting because you assume that you need to do a whole 180-degree turn or make a complete overhaul of your life. However, lasting change is possible when you take small and deliberate steps each day to change your situations and be the person you know you can be. This means that instead of looking at change as this really big mountain that you need to climb, think of it more as a series of small steps that will get you to different milestones and ultimately reach your goal. If you struggle with procrastination and getting things done, all it takes is empowering yourself with the right tools to overcome this self-defeating habit. Understand that you can change the way you think, change your beliefs, and as a result, change your outcomes. Every day presents a new opportunity to choose a different path and start a new journey. If you don't like where you are right now, you don't have to stay in that situation. Just like your habits got you to where you are now, you can create new habits to get you where you want to go. These simple but effective tools will be your most important weapons against procrastination. Use them well, and you will realize that there is really nothing stopping you from achieving your goals. The Power of Self-Awareness. Conclusion. Hindsight, as they say, is 20/20, and often when we look back on how we have gotten to the point we're in, we can clearly spot the missteps that we made along the way. However, since you have no time machine to take you back to the past to make different choices, all you can really do is work for a better tomorrow. It does not matter how much procrastination has set you back over the years. We are all works in progress that have an opportunity to change every single day. So instead of dwelling on what you could have done and all the opportunities you missed, focus instead on what you can achieve by being more proactive and decisive every day. The most powerful enemy you have is the one within, so the only person that can stop you from being who you want to be is the one in the mirror. Acknowledging that there are areas where we fail and sabotage our own progress is often difficult, but it sure beats going down like a defective parachute. No matter how far you think you've fallen, there's always a way to get back up and rewrite your story. If most of your life has been about putting off important decisions and avoiding things that you do not like, you now have all the tools and knowledge to turn this around. This can be the day that you make a small but sure step to change your outcomes and live the life you really want. By reading this book, you've already taken a small but deliberate step in the right direction. All that's left for you to do is to start applying the principles you've learned in this book. Remember that your consistency will be your biggest ally in changing from being a procrastinator to someone proactive and decisive. Every day, make small changes and set small milestones for yourself that slowly help you to unravel the next. This has been Procrastination, Shut Up and Do Those Damn Things, an ass-kicking guide to stop procrastinating, cure laziness, and destroy bad habits, your productivity action plan for unlimited success. Written by Bruce Merrick, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Bruce Merrick. Production copyright by Bruce Merrick. To learn more about today's author or book, please visit Amazon.com or Audible.com. With an eclectic collection of water cooler knowledge, inspirational stories, and motivational thoughts from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.